Welcome, I'm Ryan Hicks, and this is Modern Business, the podcast to learn from franchise business leaders and explore new business technology. Our community is about sharing knowledge and tools that help us achieve our goals in business and beyond. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Modern Business.
Welcome back, everybody, to Modern Business Podcast. Thanks again for joining us for another fantastic episode. Today, we're going to be bringing you a traditional Modern Business Podcast episode. For those who have seen me speaking quite a bit lately on the Emerging and Essential series, we figured that we would try and mix in a couple bigger brands on here that can give you guys some really great advice and also give you some really awesome viewpoints on their industry and the franchising industry in general. Not many brands are lucky enough to be essential, but this next brand with this chief executive that we have from their brand is lucky enough to be one of them. So I'm really excited to bring this episode today for you guys to listen to. A couple bits of housekeeping before we get started here. Number one, please subscribe to Modern Business. If you have questions about how to do that, you can always reach out to Ryan and myself. Do not be shy. We are always happy to be your resident millennials to help you figure out how to subscribe anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Additionally, we are also running a influencer series through Springboard and franchisors.com. So please register for those. Those are going to be every Thursday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. So please check those out. We've had some really awesome guests like Bedros Koulian, the CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp, and we've had the CEO of Walk-Ons, Brandon Landry, and largest multi-unit franchisee of Sport Clips, Johnny Weber, and of course the CEO of Clear Summit Group, Dan Monahan, on with us thus far, and we have some really exciting guests in the future. Lastly, last piece of housekeeping is that we actually just launched a new aspect or widget on franchisors.com called Switchboard. For folks who did not listen to the webinar, main purpose of that is to give back to the franchise community and for folks who may have gotten laid off or furloughed, please go to that website and drop your resume in there. We are more than happy to connect you with folks that we are aware of that are looking for actual employees. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people who still are. So please, if you're listening and you have been furloughed or laid off, we are here to help. So please go to franchisors.com and enter in your information. So really excited to get started today with our next guest. This gentleman, I really only had the pleasure of, he had me into his office and he wasn't there for most of the time because I was actually interviewing two Modern Business alums, Brandon Moxham and Dave Wells, who work for this next gentleman that we're going to be having on in a second. But really happy that we finally managed to corral him onto the podcast. Finally, we have Ken Hutchison, the CEO of US Lawns, on with us. Ken, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Zach. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today and look forward to having a really nice conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. And I think that it's a long time coming. I know that we have been wanting to do this for a little while, so I'm excited that we can finally do so. So, you know, just for folks who don't know, I think we should just start off with this first, because I always like to, you know, just a brief background on you and then how you got involved in US Lawns, and then also just a brief excerpt on what US Lawns does, just for the folks who don't know what it is.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Zach. And so I'll share just a little bit of insight on my background. One is I am passionate about franchising, and I've been in the world of franchising for a long time, even prior to US Lawns. So have been a franchisee. I have been a support person. I have been a franchise recruiter. And then I've also led this franchise organization called US Lawns. And I've done that since the early 2000s. So I am long time with U.S. Lawns, not always as the leader, though. Again, joined as a support team member, got involved in franchise sales and franchise recruiting really, really early on, and just love that, passionate about changing people's lives and sharing our message and sharing our story, but then had an opportunity a while back, again, in the early 2000s, to take the brand over and have helped along with some really good teams. I'm proud and honored and just so happy to have worked with some great people and have taken it from where it was then, which was 30 or 40 franchisees, good operators, and a great system, to where we are today, where we have about 250-plus franchise territories serving customers throughout the United States of America. You asked about what U.S. Lines does. We are a grounds care company, 100% franchisee-driven, no company-owned locations today, serving commercial customers in this, what we call, $70 billion green industry. All commercial, all service. Good, solid model.
Absolutely, and I've for folks who have listened to our podcast with some folks on Dave on the team at US Lawns before, we've had the chance to get Ken on, Dave and Brandon, we obviously got a chance to really dive into the brand quite a bit. So we are gonna, and if you do want to find that episode, I'm happy to link that in. I'm happy to actually link that in this particular episode too, so you guys can go back and listen to that, just so you can have some different viewpoints. But your model is fantastic, and I've always really loved it. And I think that one reason why we decided that now is a better time than ever to have you guys on is the fact that you guys are an essential business, and that your model is not only efficient, but it is actually in a timely fashion. It is something that you guys, your franchisees, can still actually operate right now and not have to sit at their homes. Now, I am kind of curious, Ken, because I think that all industries have been affected to a certain extent. How have you really seen that the lawn care industry overall has been affected by the pandemic? Because I imagine it has been slightly, but luckily you're outside, you aren't going into the home, so that's always good news too. But what have you seen that's really impacted your industry because of COVID-19?
Yeah, everybody's been impacted. This is all about people. That's the challenge we have with this pandemic, is it's not all business related. The business issues are a function of the issues and the impact to the people. And so, you know, our hearts really go out to the people that have been impacted, the people who have been laid off, the people who have had health issues, the people who have kids who are out of school. And all of that applies in part to the families that work on our teams. So we have been impacted because our people have been impacted. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the lawn care industry goes, let me be clear about this. There are some subsegments to the industry that have been impacted more than others. This is mm-hmm. a big business. It's a $70 billion industry, and it's really shaped around two market segments. One being residential, one being service, commercial service. Now, I'm involved with other areas. I work with peer groups. I'm involved in industry associations. So I've got some anecdotal knowledge of the residential side of the industry, but I have some firsthand knowledge both through others in the industry and through our own brand as to how we've been impacted from a commercial basis. Now, as you said, Zach, we were deemed an essential business early on in this pandemic. It was a little bit uncertain at first, so we provided some guidance to our franchisees in that area, and some of that guidance came from our own resources. Some guidance came from trade groups that the industry has. But fortunately, in just about every market, every state, every local community, we're an essential service. That doesn't mean, though, we're not operating without some restrictions. For mm-hmm. example, there are areas where we can only put one person in a truck when normally we'll have three or four people in a truck. There are areas that require us to limit our service to the recurring maintenance services and not the new construction and new landscape. So there's some impact. And then finally, most importantly, it's not about us, never is about us. It's about our customer. We built this brand to serve the market, to serve the mm-hmm. customer. And so we're watching and connecting with our customers to see how they are impacted so we can serve them best. We work in the multifamily in, market vertical. We work in commercial. We work in retail. We work in industrial, institutional, municipal, and each one of those have been impacted differently. So again, we've adjusted, we've tailored, we've tweaked, we've connected with them to see how we can best serve them. And there's some positive and there's some challenges. The positive is they all, even hospitality, the hotel industry and the restaurant industry, they realize they have to protect the investment they have in their landscape. They have to protect the investment in their landscape. So we speak to them about the service offerings. We speak to them about the scope of service, but they still have to have us there on a consistent basis to maintain their investment. So again, to kind of sum it up, you know, there have been scheduling changes, crew configurations, service levels, scope changes, some delays, some postponements, and then offset by accelerations where people are saying, look, if I don't have a lot of traffic, now's a good time for me to do that capital improvement that we've been meaning to do. So again, impact, change, not negative and not necessarily unduly positive, but change.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's kind of the theme of it all. It feels like is that when you are an essential business, it's you kind of have those folks who are like, you know, I've been meaning to do this for a while, but I have never really had the ability to do it. And it kind of gives you guys a new opportunity to get in front of new customers. But I think at the same time, you really have to adapt the way that you guys are operating things. And, you know, my next question for you based off of that is there anything that you guys have changed from the pandemic that you believe that moving forward is just a better way of doing things? Is there anything that you've noticed is just working better because you've changed a certain aspect of the business because you've had to at all?
Yeah, it's funny. I keep trying to choose words carefully as I speak to our team and as I speak to people outside our team, because I do love to connect with other leaders and other people. And that mantra now is, let's adapt to our environment. Let's adapt to our environment. I realized I was causing some undue concern when I would say, guys, it's time to change. Now it's adapt to the environment. And then a subheading under that I say kind of a little softer is, let's accelerate necessary change. And this is an opportunity for two reasons to accelerate some necessary change, at least within our organization. One is the environment demands it. I'll be clear about that. It demands some change. And two, we have some time. We're working remotely. In fact, 100% of our home office team is remote and has been since the middle of March. Working remotely, we're finding that some of the moment-to-moment distractions are gone. Some of the things that aren't meaningful are set aside, and we're focused on what's important. Now, to answer your question, though, about what really has changed, what adaptations have been necessary. You mentioned it's a good time to get in front of your customer. Well, it is a great time to get in front of your customer. And as we say, let's embrace them. Let's put our arms around them. Let's make them a business friend. And then clearly, all of that is figurative because we're doing that virtually and remotely. How effective is that? It is. It's actually kind of cool. And this isn't all about our current customers. In fact, we have a pretty powerful, what we call direct sales marketing team, sales team. They're doing digital research. They're then literally going on the phone, talking to prospective customers, setting meetings. And you would have thought that would have ended in early March. They're ramped up. They're still working effectively. And now the meeting is virtual by phone, by GoToMeeting, by teleconference, instead of in person, meaning you're a lot more impactful, a lot more effective. So those are some obvious things. But ultimately, our business is all around and our brand DNA is all around getting close to the customer and close to the employee. And by that, I mean getting to know their needs. This has accelerated that, kind of re-energized that, and that one of the first things that we did and we counseled the franchisees to do was get in front of your customer and I'm going to pause, no differently than we did in 2009 when the recession started, Get in front of your customer. Don't ask them about, don't tell them about what you're doing. Ask them how they are doing as a person. Then ask how their industry, how their business is doing. And then ask, how can I help you? What an impactful statement. Doing that has really rocked the world for us. No different than with our employee, where stay close to the employee, get in front of the employee, figuratively, and in this case, literally, get in front of them, stay 6 feet away, and ask them, how are you, how's your family, and what can I do to help you? That is some really cool, not change, but refreshed direction and refreshed energy to part of our brand DNA, what it always has been. Now, clearly, we're working to protect the customer's investment. We're changing some things we do as far as crews again and cleanliness and PPE and customer communication. That's a given. You read about that all over the internet. You see that on LinkedIn. We've really put that into play, discipline to it, process driven, knowing that if we fail at that, we won't be allowed out on the street and our customers won't welcome us on their property.
I think that's incredibly smart of you to say, because I think at the end of the day, the fact that you guys are, you're not trying to completely, you know, reconfigure the system, but you're really using the brand DNA that you guys already have to, you know, ensure that you're, that it still feels like the same brand that they actually love to work with, except it's just being done a little bit differently out of necessity. And I think that, that makes a ton of sense. And I'm happy to hear that, you know, you guys were able to kind of pivot the way that you operate, you know, efficiently without really feeling like it was all that different, I think. I think at the end of the day, that's what's most important. And I am kind of curious to hear, you know, just any overall predictions about, you know, where you see, you know, your industry going off of this. Do you think that it's going to drastically change the, I mean, not to be punny, but the landscape of your industry at all? Do you think it's really going to change a lot? Or do you think that overall, the appetite for what you guys are providing is going to kind of, is going to stay pretty, pretty consistent?
Yeah, you know, there will be changes. There's not a question about that. And that's not a bad thing. This is not a negative, but the grass grows, the snow falls. We've still got to protect the investment and service the sites consistently. That's just a given. We don't see that changing. It's mostly about how we communicate with the customer. And we clearly see enhanced digital and video communication. That'll be more prevalent. Clearly, it's about how do we share information while continuing to develop a personal relationship. And we've seen people do that in other industries. We've seen Chick-fil-A do that when they did their drive-through, when they did their app. It's about creating that customer experience and touching the meaningful points where you can make a difference in the customer relationship. And equally important, it's about the employee, because ultimately, if you don't have 100% employee satisfaction, you won't have 100% client retention. Both of those are visionary statements, by the way. And as you've probably heard before, we strive for 100% employee satisfaction, 100% client retention. And so it's about how do we develop the relationship? And ultimately, here's what I can say, Zach, that I think will bring it to a head. It's about being convenient. It's about being easy to work with, while still delivering that personal touch. And doing that remotely, doing that through video, doing that occasionally in person, that's where our focus is. But we're just started. We've got a lot of things in play right now. I'm really, really proud of the things the team has done in the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks since this all started to really take us to another level. And we're having a little, you know, I hate to say it too loudly, having a few competitions around this. We're seeing, can the support team develop a better process than the franchise recruiting team? Can the consumer sales team do a better job than the support team? And you know, that's part of our brand DNA, competitive camaraderie. Who can develop the best process internally to allow us, again, to stay close to the customer, close to the employee, and be respectful of the distance that will always need to be there and be effective?
I like that a lot. I think that's really smart that you're, you know, trying to find a way to keep your team positive by doing competitions and really willing them to feel like that things are as normal as possible, yet reminding them that, you know, the best way to come out of this strong is to really put your pedal to the metal right now and try your best to show, you know, your customer that, you know, things are running on all cylinders and that you guys are really trying your best to provide them the exact same experience that they paid for, and really, to your point, protect the brand and, you know, the actual services that you guys are providing, that you're still providing that great, 100% satisfaction that you guys always strive for. Now, I am curious, because I think that it isn't obviously all about, what you guys are doing competitively within the corporate team. I think that there's also some give back and goodwill stories that you guys have been that you guys have obviously done as well. Is there anything that you've done just to kind of stay top of mind around the community and ensuring that you're really giving back to show them that you're there, not only for what they've paid for, but maybe just because, you know, you're a local business in the community and you want to make sure that people are getting through this okay, and to show that you guys are there for them?
Yeah, you know, again, this just weaves right into our brand DNA, the culture of U.S. Lawns, which is improving communities and improving lives. And both of those are important, improving communities, improving lives. That's every day of the week. But it's even more important right now that we show that, and that we don't just talk it, but we live it. And we do have some great stories about that. And I'll share two. One that's totally business related. Really early on, I'm speaking the first week of this pandemic, when we realized this is a big deal, and it was affecting our customers, and we were facing the essential service issues. We were doing a video conference with a small group of franchisees. And by the way, we're doing that every day. We're doing at least one, sometimes two video conferences with either our home office team or small groups of franchisees. And I'm emphasizing the small group because you need two-way communication, and you can't do that in a large group. That gets pretty stale. So we're having one of the first conference calls, and a franchisee in Phoenix, Arizona, Jack Hallenbach, who I just have great respect for, sends a note afterwards, and it's just a really well-written email. And he's a true professional, great person. And he said, "Ken, you know, let me just share a story. We went out, we visited with one of our hotel customers, and we knew that they were in distress because of the headlines. Traffic had stopped." And he said, "We went in and we spoke to her. We did what I had said earlier. We asked, 'How are you? How is your business?' And she started to cry. And she sent him a note saying, 'No other service provider has done this for me. It's not about my hotel. It's about my employees. It's about my family.' That just struck my heart. And I thought, you know, that was really cool from a business perspective. And then we take it to another level. A franchisee in Colorado, Steve Carman and Elizabeth Carman, who just, again, teaches people. They're just wonderful people. And one of our market segments is the HOA market. That's homeowner associations. And that's heavy commercial type work, in that you're doing roadways, you're doing retention ponds, you might be doing yards even, but typically it's all done through a property management company. And they said, you know, we've got to go a little deeper. So they went to the management company and said, we need to identify anybody here in the neighborhood who's a first responder. And so now they're servicing those properties for free, just so those people don't have to worry about it. And I think, you know, those are cool stories. It goes deeper. We don't hear most of them about people dropping things off at the assisted living facilities that they are servicing. doing just all kinds of cool things for their community. And then finally, we can't ignore what our franchisees are doing for their employees. It's well beyond just giving them a job and a solid paycheck. It's stretching out to their families. It's being respectful. It's touching individuals, not a big group thing, one person at a time, one person at a time. And it just, I sit back and reflect and just say how thankful we are to be able to do that.
I think that it's really important that your franchisees are so active in giving back to their community. And I think that it's one of the most special things about this pandemic is that so many people, you know, I always believe that people are inherently good and not inherently bad, not to get, philosophical, but I mean, that's always what I believe. I always try to look at the positive in people. And it seems like that you guys certainly do too, because I think that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily expect that your commercial landscaping partner is going to be the one that's going to be there for you throughout all of this. But I think that there's just a lot of opportunity to show just how important each community is to, you know, these local businesses. And I think that you guys are certainly no different. And I love hearing stories like that, because I think that that's really what humanizes all of this and what brings us all together through these times of unfortunate negativity. But I think I appreciate you sharing those, because I think that always makes us here at Modern Business happy to hear that there are some good people left in the world out there. So thank you for sharing that. And what I'd love to do, Ken, is just to go through any big picture takeaways that you guys have had at US Lawns in terms of what you've experienced so far, and you know, any big initiatives or plans that you guys are excited about over the rest of the year. Because I know that short term planning has kind of been the what most people have been doing thus far. But you know, you guys are fortunate. You guys are still doing pretty well for relative to other folks in the franchise space. So it's always nice for people to hear, you know, some of the goals you have and some big picture takeaways that you could share with the listeners that you guys have learned from the experience so far.
Yeah, it's funny you speak about long-term planning and short-term planning. And I was speaking to a partner the other day, a service partner, and I said, you know, I'm about done with my short-term planning. That's what's happening today and next week. And I'm ready to do some long-term planning with you now. Let's think out 30 days. And it wasn't 3 months ago where the same conversation or a similar conversation with the same partner was, where will we be 2 years from now or 3 years from now together? And I'm speaking in this case of a technology partner that helps us stay relevant and adapt. So, you know, we've learned some things, and some aren't about tools and processes and systems and plans. Some is that this lockdown has validated our industry. We're very fortunate that the grass does grow and the snow does fall and properties do need to be serviced. And our business model, and this is why I'm passionate about franchising, our business model of franchising is so resilient. Franchisees are survivors. They're not like managers. They'll do whatever it takes to see another day, to protect their business, protect their employees, protect their customers. So we're very, very fortunate. We're very thankful for that. But most importantly, we see that we've been validated, our model of staying close to the customer and close to the employee. So we're thankful to be in the landscape industry. We're proud of our franchisees. We're proud that we can serve the needs of our clients, our communities, that we can make a difference, and that our core values align with what's needed in this market. We do see some things happening. I mean, we've been fortunate, but things aren't the way they were 2 months ago. They are different. And there's still a long way to go with this pandemic. We're not done. The stay-at-home orders might be lifted, but we still don't know what can happen in 30 days or 60 or 90. So I'm thankful for what we have today. I'm not speaking about tomorrow yet. But what we are doing is we want to be sure that when we do go back into an office, that we don't go in and do what we did yesterday. that we do need to adapt. We need to accelerate some necessary change in every area of the business. Franchise recruiting, and again, I'm proud of our franchise recruiting team for thinking out 6 months and not just today. And they're doing a wonderful job, by the way. They're still busy. We may not be opening right now, but we're certainly talking to a lot of candidates. I'm very proud of our support team. They are more engaged with their franchisees than they ever been, in part because they are able to engage all day long effectively instead of spending time in airports and hotels and rental cars. And I'm proud of, again, of our home office team. They are ignoring the things that don't matter, even though we do know the devil's in the details, and they're focused on what's important. We're shedding the things that aren't. So, you know, what's tomorrow hold? I'm optimistic. I've always been an optimistic leader, but I'm realistic. And so we see a really bright future. We think, again, because of our model, we see a bright future, and we're looking forward to good things, whatever that
optimism
means.
Optimism and realism are the name of the game here, folks, as you guys can hear. And you're going to hear a really great trend that I have is that I like to have like-minded individuals to Ryan and myself on our podcast. And Ken is obviously no different. I mean, I love how enthusiastic you are about the future and how confident you are that things are really going to turn around. And I've been seeing it. I've been seeing the posts from Dave and from other folks on your team about how great you guys are doing, and you know all the goodwill that you're doing in each of your respective communities. And I'm really excited to see, you know, where the brand goes from here and how it comes out of it even stronger, how it comes out of this really even stronger than you guys already are now. And I really appreciate you coming on the podcast today, Ken, because I think it was a ray of sunshine out of Florida, thankfully. So we really appreciate you coming on and joining us and talking about U.S. Lawns for a little bit.
Well, thank you. I love sharing the message, and I love connecting with people that share our values, and I know you and Ryan do.
Well, absolutely. Well, we appreciate that. And where can people go to learn a little bit more about you guys if they're curious about, you know, talking to Dave and the team, or about just learning more about your services from a consumer side of things? You know, where can they go to learn a little bit more about you guys?
Yeah, well, let's start with uslawns.com. And from there, you can link into a franchise site, recruiting site. You can also go on social media, and you'll see that we have pretty good exposure there as well.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that sounds great. Well, folks, and if you can't reach the team for some reason, please feel free to reach out to Ryan and myself, and we are more than happy to connect you to Ken and some other awesome folks that are on his team that do a phenomenal job for U.S. Lawns. Ken, thank you so much again for joining us. And folks, thank you all so much for listening as well. Again, please subscribe to Modern Business. That is without the E. For some reason, Ryan wanted to get fancy. And apparently Modern Business with the E was, of course, taken by trademark. So here we are without an E. But thank you guys so much for joining us again, and looking forward to speaking with you all soon.